Talking Flicks with JT and Grant Lee.
Yeah, it is a Talking Flicks special, the Travelling Film Festival for 2024, making its way to Tamworth and Wagga's Forum 6 Cinemas, also the Odeon 5 in Orange, August 9th to the 11th. Mr. Lee, are you excited? Are you pumped?
I am so pumped, Jay. I cannot wait for this weekend. And I know in past years that we've been doing it now for, I'm going to say probably 10, 12, 15 years. It is always so popular and people love the each movie. It has got a different story to tell and people love that sort of stuff. And these sort of movies we don't normally get as a normal run of the mill. And these festivals are great because we can actually screen these types of movies.
Look, it's going to be a massive weekend. Tell us more about it from the Travelling Film Festival. Karina, hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me on. I'm very excited.
Yeah, well, what a weekend this is going to be. We've got stacks of great movies to get through, but you run a lot of these film festivals regionally. You move around to a lot of towns. How's that been going this year?
Yeah, good. The Travelling Film Festival goes to the Northern Territory sort of at the start of the year and then through New South Wales and Queensland, about five or six sites at each place. It's massive. Like, it's a huge undertaking for us to get this on the road. And we're trying something a little bit different this year. And as you would see, all of the New South Wales sites are on the same weekend this year rather than sort of spread across the year. But, it's a very fun and very, meaningful to take these films out and meet community and hear from them about what they love and connect them with these great movie culture.
It's really good, Karina, I must say. What's your role at the Travelling Film Festival?
I am the film programmer for the Travelling Film Festival this year, so I have this terrible job where I have to watch all of these fantastic movies and choose which ones to show in which site and do my best to bring, obviously, big hits from Cannes and award winners, but also to craft a program that I think will resonate with the local community as well.
She'll point out as well, in its 50th year too, the Travelling Film Festival, 1974 was when this first got underway.
Yeah, so we kind of came about from David Stratton, who was the festival director at that time, and very exciting to be celebrating the 50th year this year. Obviously the Sydney Film Festival had been running for a little while at that point, and David Stratton wanted to bring these films to the regions that weren't getting out there. It's funny listening, he's done this really beautiful interview you can find on the website at the Sydney Film Festival website, sort of looking back on the origin of the Travelling Film Festival and all of that. And so much of it still rings true today to say, some of these films just don't get out into the regions and they shouldn't miss out just because, you're not in a big city. So that was a big part of it. And also what I found really interesting was that it was really critical for him to get support and to get local distributors to buy films. So it was really instrumental in also building the film industry in Australia. And I know we have been coming to Tamworth for a while, but Wagga and Orange were actually on the first tour ever.
Really? Oh, wow. How lucky are they?
Yeah. Been travelling on the road for 50 years now and still going strong.
Wow. Now, Mr. Lee, 1974, that'd be your vintage, wouldn't it? You would have been around for the first travelling film festival.
I was. I won't say how old I was, but I was in primary school. I will let you know, Karina, Jay always hassles me about my age. So every day he hassles me about it. So
Andy's
he always
like his
has
hair,
to
right?
have a plug at something, either my hair or my age. So it's just normal.
Don't worry, Karina will be joining in by the end. I'll work her over.
No, I'm ducking. I'm ducking out of this one.
No, don't duck.
So, Karina,
don't duck.
Tell
You'll
us
love
about
it.
Some of the movies that will be coming. Now, the first one that I know about in Tamworth, we're playing on opening night, is The Convert.
Mm. The Convert is, and I'm excited to be opening the film with The Convert, actually. Sorry, the festival there with The Convert. But it's directed by, you know, New Zealand heavyweight film director Lee Tamahori, who made Once Were Warriors, and stars Guy Pearce as a preacher who is in Aotearoa, who sort of ends up being a part of what is the 1830s sort of Maori land wars. So it's this sort of big historical sweeping drama of a very important time in New Zealand's history.
And speaking of New Zealand as well, Karina, there some of these short films you're doing, there's one called First Horse. It's about 11 minutes, which, but a great story to go with it too.
Yeah, it was a natural pairing. It's about a young Maori girl who encounters a man and on his horse. It's her first encounter, and they're sort of navigating this very changing world. It's set around the same time in the early 1800s. But First Horse actually was the winner of the inaugural First Nations Award at the Sydney Film Festival this year. It's the first time they've ever awarded it. It's a $35,000 cash prize. And it's a very deserving award winner. It's a really beautiful film, so I'm happy to be able to couple that with The Convert.
Hope it is that. Now, another movie that's playing that is actually from Bhutan, it's called The Monk and the Gun, which is playing in all three sites. What's this one all about?
I love this movie so much. I don't know if any of you remember Lunana, the Yak in the Classroom, but this is the same director. Yes. So big TFF favourite here.
and it was huge here in Tamworth. I remember the Yak in the Classroom.
And it's got this, like, the energy of this film is so beautiful and, you know, highly satirical and also just really charming and funny. It's set in 2006 when Bhutan is actually gearing up for its first ever democratic election. And, you know, there's sort of the government who are trying to inform people and teach them about democracy and how to vote. And at the same time, this elderly lama asks his young monk mysteriously to go buy him two guns. And that's sort of the whole premise. And so this monk is on big journey to find these guns, and you don't know why. and he needs them right before the election. And so you're all just sort of on tenterhooks, but it's very fun and gorgeous setting as well. I really love this film.
Oh, sounds good. And as well, we've got a UK film. Now, this one is from the London Film Festival. It's called Wilding, which you'll be able to see in the Tamworth and Orange cinemas.
Yes. This is a documentary, but it's based on a bestseller by Isabella Tree, and it is this couple who inherit a 1,400-hectare property in West Sussex, this sort of English country estate, and it's sort of a failing farm. And they decide to let it go wild, essentially, get back to its sort of, you know, traditional roots, pardon the pun, and to, yeah, let this sort of, let nature take over. And it's just mind-boggling, you know, in the time when we're thinking a lot about the earth and what we're doing to it and all that sort of thing, to watch this transformation of this space is truly breathtaking. And they do introduce some animals and that have been sort of missing or extinct from the area for a long time, but other ones come back once they start letting this nature sort of grow in its own way. And I don't want to spoil it because it's truly like some really like almost like magical things happen where these animals turn up and sort of save the day by, you know, reinvigorating parts of the land. It's really something quite spectacular to see on screen and gorgeous on a big screen too.
Oh, good. I can't wait for that. Now, another short film is The Feast, and this is from an Indian director, all about a fisherman woman who's trying to save a dying lake, but she cooks a meal for a local politician.
Wilding is kind of a shorter documentary on the shorter side, so it was really nice to be able to include The Feast as a nice counterpart to it because it's a little bit longer. But, it's this really gorgeous sort of, this woman is creating this feast for a local politician to kind of, you know, highlight how special the local waterways are, and but it's also, if you're a foodie, you will be starving by the end of it.
I'm thinking about that.
My mouth is watering. I love food.
Yeah. By creating this really special meal from the land. But yeah, oh gosh, I'm thinking about it makes me hungry.
And Karina, we've got to have a French film, in this film festival somewhere. We're talking Cannes as well. Marcello Mio. Now, this one's across Tamworth, Orange, Wagga, so all three cinemas. What can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, and this one, it's really a really unique film. So it played in the Cannes competition. And so Chiara Mastroianni is the daughter of Marcello and Catherine Deneuve in real life. Catherine Deneuve is in the film playing herself. It's a film about, it's spectacularly, I mean, everything she does is spectacular, but it's really about Chiara's trying to find, it's this sort of, you know, obviously elements of real life in it, but it's very much a fiction film where Chiara's trying to, you know, make her own way as an actress and is finding this challenge of being a child of very, very famous people. And then she sort of just starts taking on the persona of Marcello Mastroianni and dressing like him and asking people to call him Marcello. And some people sort of go along with it and, you know, some people are very disturbed by it. But her performance is, you just can't take your eyes off her. It's so unique and weird and very fun. And you don't have to know everything about, you know, Catherine Deneuve or anything to enjoy the film. It's just a really delightful kind of exploration of finding yourself and how you relate yourself to your parents.
Which we can all relate to. Now, another one that will be playing in all three sites is The Outrun. And this is a UK-Germany movie set in Scotland.
Yeah, set very much on the Orkney Islands. And it was an adaptation from Amy Liptrot's autobiography, I guess. And it's about a woman who is a recovering addict and kind of takes herself out of London, where she finds, you know, a lot of her life unraveling and too much temptation, to try and find herself and connect with the natural world. It's very much carried by a tremendous performance by Saoirse Ronan. She's vulnerable, she's funny, she's really, you can connect with her and her performance really beautifully. And it's also just got this incredible landscape backdrop. So it's definitely one for the big screen. Definitely one to see this sort of powerhouse performance from Saoirse.
And speaking of...
actually in Brooklyn and Little Women as well. So, you know, she's going to be a great actress.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's really, I think... she's done, you know, more and more. You've got Lady Bird as well, and she's just kind of really finding her feet. She's a spectacular performer to keep your eye on.
Yeah, definitely. Well, another one to check out on the Sunday, the closing day of the Travelling Film Festival, is The Mountain. This sounds really inspirational, the story behind this this New Zealand film.
Yes, and I love it so much. And I put The Mountain in because we don't always have the chance to show kind of a bit more of a family film and get the young ones in. And this film is absolutely, I laughed, I cried, you know, it's kind of for everyone. But if you are thinking about wanting to bring the family along, there's sort of like... not super young kids, it's about sort of young teenagers, and these young girl is recovering from cancer, and so she decides to climb this huge mountain in New Zealand, and along the way picks up two new friends, one very sincere young man and one very, very cheeky young boy, and they go on this sort of adventure without their parents' knowledge. So at the same time, their parents are trying to find them and locate them across this mountain. But, you know, it's infused with that really rich and wonderful New Zealand sense of humour, as well as about these kids connecting with each other and with nature and finding a bit about themselves along the way. It's a really, really sweet film.
How good is that? Now, another movie, this one's actually set in Iama, and it's all about a newspaper job that this young Charmini girl gets, And then she goes to Melbourne and she meets a war correspondent. It's called, is it Carmel Cliff Life Burns High?
Charmian. You're close, Mr. Lee. You're close.
I was close.
Not close enough.
It's an unusual name.
It is a very unusual name. But it is set in the 60s.
Yes. And Charmian was born in Kiama and, like you said, sort of moved out and then moved over to Greece with her partner, George Johnson, a renowned author. And they lived this kind of, you know, really rebellious bohemian lifestyle. And they had, you know, friends like Leonard Cohen dropping around. And they, there was sort of this huge in the art world. And, came back to Australia, and they were both very talented writers. But Charmian's sort of career took a back seat for her to support the family and to support George. And she sort of, you know, suffered from that, like some, so that does happen to women who, you know, have to take care of the family while the man goes to work. And so what's happened in later years is that her book more recently got, the book that she'd been sort of working on for a long time got published, and there's a bit of a renaissance around her and rediscovering how talented she was and this missed opportunity that we all had to know her as a famous author as well. And so this documentary is trying to bring that back up to the fore and tell her life and to get people back interested in her work. And it's really, really fascinating snapshot of the time, and also features a lot of, you know, clips from her work and things like that. And she's just truly talented author. So, yeah.
Yeah, great to see some homegrown stuff on show, and hopefully everyone gets out to check that one out. Now, also, too, how about the first Indian film to appear in the Cannes competition in 30 years, All We Imagine Is Light? This is one I think that could be a standout at the film festival too.
I totally agree, and that's why I've put it at all of the sites, because I think it would be great for everyone to get along and see it. It won the Grand Prix award at the Cannes Film Festival, and it follows two women. It's set in Mumbai, and it's sort of these women who are friends and colleagues and, you know, just navigating their day-to-day lives, but and it has this kind of really sort of dreamlike, magical quality to it as they're finding, you know, wanting to find their way through life and through love. They're both searching for love and romance and in their own different ways. And it kind of adopts this, like, you know, you're discovering the city of Mumbai and then also watching these women forge their paths through and find out who they are, kind of thing. So it's really, it's another one that's quite a unique film, I think, and one to nice and sit with. It's quite like dreamlike. Mm.
Which is so good. Now, this one I'm looking forward to because it's all about dogs and it's weeks out from the Beijing Olympics and there is so many, many dogs around and they've got to actually clear them out. This one is very interesting. And I said, I love dogs, so this is going to be good.
I know. I couldn't help it. I was like, you've got to put in a dog movie if you have the chance, right?
Everyone loves dogs.
Everyone loves dogs. I'm a cat person and I still love dogs. But
that's good.
yeah, and this is sort of, you know, like a bit of a mix them up genre. It's a bit part road movie where, they're having to get all of the dogs out of town. And aside from our lead actor, who's our anti-hero, Lang, he connects with the other lead actor, Blacktor, the dog of the film. And they sort of go on a bit of a like road trip kind of thing. So it's this real charming kind of mashup of genres and with a beautifully shot landscape in the background of how these two, you know, soulmates connect with lots of, you know, fun stuff along the way as well. So definitely a charmer. And that won the Uncertain Regard Award at Cannes Film Festival as well.
There you go. See, Mr. Lee, Karina's going to make you wait all 3 days right to the very end to see your dog movie, right?
Yeah, to watch that one. Yeah.
You'll have to watch them all now.
I hope I can bring my dog along. He will love it.
Well, you are the boss, Mr. Lee, so I'm sure you can.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I could sneak him in,
find a way to make it happen. But look, Karina, if anyone wants to get tickets, there's a whole bunch of different ways you guys are selling the tickets. Obviously, you've got you can get just one film, you can get the 5-film flexi pass, a whole bunch of different options. What do you think is the best one that people should be getting their hands on?
Yeah, look, I think. Depends on your level of cinephilia, I guess. We do also offer a subscription. So if you want to come and knuckle down and see everything, it's actually probably the cheapest way because you get a discount for buying the whole festival. And, you know, the program is kind of put together for you to pick and choose for the things that you think suit you the most. But I do approach it as a holistic program as well that will take you on a bit of a journey all over the world and all over your emotions. But also the 5-pass is really a really great way to like discover things that if you can't commit to a whole weekend of movies, which I understand.
What do you think, Mr. Lee? Because I think, to me, I think it would be it really sets up your weekend, doesn't it? Just lock out 3 solid days to go and just watch a whole bunch of great movies. And I think you get to go around the world as well. I kind of feel like seeing I'd like to see the whole experience. It's kind of what it's all about, isn't it?
It certainly is. And, you know, when you do set the whole weekend aside, you come out and just go, wow, what an experience that was. Mm-hmm. And to be able to watch movie after movie after movie, this is your only chance that you can do it. And I know in the past I have actually watched 4 or 5 movies in one day. And you just go, I'm so pleased I did it because I've just seen all these fantastic movies. Now, some other movies that we'll be playing, and one in particular that I'm interested in, it's only playing in orange. It's called The Cars That Paris Ate. And this is an Australian movie from 1974, and it's been digitally remastered.
Cars That Ate Paris was Peter Weir's feature debut. In fact, and it's also having its 50th anniversary, and so it's been recently and lovingly restored by the NFSA's Restores program. And it actually screened at Sydney Film Festival and the Travelling Film Festival in 1974. So it felt like it was just like had to be. And it was also filmed in Sofala, which is not far from Orange.
How good is that? And I know they'll love it. And to be able to see Max Gillies and John Mellon, it will be just so good to see them on the big screen again because they're great actors.
Mm.
Now, another movie that's playing in Wagga only, it's called The In Vitro. And this is actually an Australian movie directed by Will Howarth and Tom McKeith.
Yeah. We're opening the festival in Wagga with this. And Tom, one of the co-directors, will be there for a Q&A on the night, which is very exciting. And it was filmed somewhat locally in the Monaro Plains of New South Wales. And this one is this real sort of claustrophobic thriller about set in the, you know, not too distant future, could possibly be real, where this couple on a farm are getting into the business of cloning cattle. And it sort of builds on the genre in this sort of, you know, sci-fi futuristic kind of setting. But the way that the film is put together is so suspenseful. It's not like a horror. It's more like a, you know, that sort of psychological thriller sort of film. But it's really, really beautifully put together by the directors and the cast, and it's gorgeously shot. Definitely one to unpack with the director in person on the night as well.
If you want more info and book, forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. And I think when you go online there, Mr. Lee, there is a link you can go through which goes through to the Travelling Film Festival, and you can get all the information on every single movie.
Correct. And that is the best way. Make sure you buy your tickets beforehand because I know this is going to sell out. People are going to be very excited to be able to watch these great movies over that weekend.
Yeah, going to be lots of
Absolutely.
Fun.
Absolutely. Get in there. Yeah.
Get in there, yes. Well, Karina, thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to catching you on the 9th of August for a massive weekend.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on the show, and it's so nice to talk about these movies because, you know, there's a lot of passion behind what we do, and I can't wait to hear how everybody comes out of that cinema, and you know, it's my favorite thing ever, chatting in the foyer afterwards about the thing they've just seen. So looking forward to having that beautiful shared experience with everybody, and yeah, can't wait.
Awesome. Thanks, Karina. Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Thank you so much.
Want more Talking Flicks? Get your fix with every episode anywhere, anytime. Just search Talking Flicks on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.